Members, without my trusty staff here to teach me how to use the printer, I'm going to be doing this off my cell phone because we had some kind of glitch between my computer and the printer to print stuff out today. So, good afternoon, everyone. The Labor, Industry, and Veterans Military Affairs Finance and Policy Committee will come to order. I would like to announce that this meeting will take place in accordance with House Rule 10.01. This meeting may be viewed on the House Public Information TV, which is available on the House website. As is custom with this committee, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States.
To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Ms. Doyle, will you please take the roll?
Chair Eklund.
Present.
Vice Chair Zhang. Representative Detmer.
Detmer present.
Representative McDonald.
McDonald present.
Representative Berg.
Present.
Representative Bliss.
Present.
Representative Edelson.
Present.
Representative Frederick.
Present.
Representative Greenman.
Present.
Representative Nelson.
Present.
Representative Poston excused. Representative Raleigh.
Raleigh present.
Representative Sundin.
Present.
Representative Zhang. We do have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Doyle. Quorum is present. Next on the agenda is approval of minutes from the March 23rd, 2021 meeting. Every member should have received a copy of today's minutes in their inbox. Representative McDonald, did you get a chance to check out the minutes?
Yes, I did, sir, and I approve the minutes. Or make a motion to approve the minutes.
Representative McDonald moves approval of the minutes from the March 23rd, 2021 meeting. Any comments or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor of the adoption of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motions are adopted. Members, today we have House File 752 before us and the DE3 Author's Amendment. This will be the omnibus bill for veterans and military affairs. Today, the plan will be to have an overview for nonpartisan House and fiscal staff and research staff on the DE3. And then we have representatives from veterans affairs and military affairs to provide comment. Mr. Debo from House Research, do you want to do the first walkthrough?
Chairman members. The DE3 is comprised of 9 articles, I believe. Article 1 contains the appropriations, and that is taken from House File 1032, which is the state government finance omnibus bill that was introduced and authored by Chair Nelson. Ms. Roberts will details of the financing, so I'm going to skip to the policy provisions, which begin in Article 2 of the DE. And I'll identify the topic of each section and which bill and author, underlying bill and author, the language came from. So Section 1 of Article 2 is the Veterans Suicide Prevention Awareness Day, and that's from House File 478, which is authored by Representative Bliss. Section 2 is from House File, is publicity representative authorization for the Department of Veterans Affairs, which is House File 484 from Chair Eklund. Section 3 is the base bill, House File 752, which this DE is going on to, and that is the language from Chair Eklund's bill on the Adjutant General qualifications. Section 4 is the Veterans Stable Housing Initiative. That is from House File 592, which is authored by Representative Christensen. Sections 5 through 8 come from House File 585, and those relate to the agency's recommendations for changes to the Minnesota GI Bill statute, and that bill is authored by Representative Sandsteed. Skipping to forward Section 9 of Article 2, this contains two bills, The first is House File 88, which is authored by Representative Lippert, and that relates to the authority of the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs to operate adult daycare facilities. And the other piece in Section 9 is from House File 281, which relates to dental care services offered by the Veterans Affairs Department, and that again is a Representative Christensen bill. Section 10 is new language that was proposed by the Senate and is not housed in any House bill. And to the commissioner requirements for the Commissioner of Affairs to calculate the personal needs allowance for domiciliary residents housed by the department. Section 11 is the Veteran Offenders Restorative Justice Sentencing Proposal, which is from House File 478 and authored by Representative Weiss. And then finally, in Article 2 is a revisor instruction, which comes again from the GI Bill previously mentioned, 585, for Representative Sandsteed. Depending on your questions, I will just jump quickly to the final articles, which are all from Representative Zhang's House File 1442, and those relate to the amendments offered by the Department of Military Affairs relating to military criminal justice and legal affairs within the department and how they manage and process course-martial and other proceedings for discipline within their ranks. And Mr. Chair, that concludes the summary of the policy provisions.
Thank you, Mr. Deeble. And then next up is Helen Roberts from House Fiscal Staff. Ms. Roberts, can you please walk through the fiscal portions of the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, can you hear me okay?
You're a little quiet, Ms. Roberts.
Okay, I've been having some trouble with this one. I'm going to try to share my screen, and I will just let you know that spreadsheet that I'm using today is a kind of a simpler version than you might be used to seeing in an omnibus bill walkthrough. Just because we're doing this over Zoom, I wanted to keep it simple. But if members want to see additional detail, such as the base or the tails, I'm happy to provide it. So just let me know. So quickly to walk through the spreadsheet, first we have the Department of Military Affairs. Their first program is the maintenance and training facilities, and the change here is the operating adjustment of $212,000 for the biennium. I do want to point out that I did make an error when I was putting the numbers or giving the numbers in the bill. The spreadsheet is correct, but if you look on page 2, line 1, you'll notice that the second year number is not correct, so we will fix that at the next meeting. The second program for military affairs is general support. And again, you can see for their general fund, they have an operating adjustment of $376,000. And so their total is $7.1 million from the general fund. They also receive funding through the Support Our Troops license plate revenue. Next is the enlistment incentives. And this is at a base level of $22.2 million. And finally, for the last program in military affairs is their open appropriation for the when the National Guard is ordered to active state duty. And so the total direct appropriation from the general fund is $48.98 million. And then they, again, also have this open statutory appropriation. Moving on to the Department of Veterans Affairs, their first program is called Veterans Programs and Services. I won't walk through all of these lines, but I'll point out the change items. First of all, you'll see the 9/11 Task Force is funded at $500,000. And I should have noted at the beginning, all of the change items for both Military Affairs and Veterans Affairs are funded at the governor's request level. The second changes under programs and services are an operating adjustment of $300,000, and then the governor's initiative to prevent and end veteran homelessness is funded at the request of $6.3 million. The next activity that receives an operating adjustment is the claims and outreach activity, and you can see there's an operating adjustment of $290,000. Veterans Affairs also receives funding from the Support Our Troops license plate special revenue funds, and so there's their funding at $1.1 million for the biennium. The second program for, at the very top of this page, I missed the open general fund spending for the department for the GI Bill post-secondary education assistance and also the on-the-job training and apprenticeships. The second program for veterans is the veterans healthcare, which is where the veterans homes are funded. And you can see that they have an operating adjustment of $7.6 million. And then the governor's initiative for preventing veteran suicide is also funded at the requested $1.65 million. So the total general fund is this $124.8 million for the homes. The homes also receive funding through federal per diem payments, and these all go into the special revenue fund. So the total for the Department of Veterans Affairs is $168.5 million direct general fund appropriation, plus their $6 million in open general funds. And then at the very bottom of the page, you'll see the total for both agencies is $227,934,000.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Next up to talk about the bill will be General Mankey from the Guard. General, please identify yourself for the record and proceed, and I'll let members know that Don Kerr is also available for any questions that I'm sure the General can have answer, but just in case he can't, Mr. Kerr is here as well. General, please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Major General Sean Mankey, the Adjutant General of Minnesota and the Commissioner of the Department of Military Affairs. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I want to thank you for fully funding the governor's request for the Department of Military Affairs and the favorable consideration you have shown for our policy initiatives, which are both reflected in this bill. As you know, the past year has been a pretty busy year for the Minnesota National Guard, both with our federal mission as well as our support to the state of Minnesota through COVID mitigation as well as civil unrest response. And I anticipate the next few months will be busy as well, and hopefully then we'll work ourselves out of some of the state support that we've provided over the last year. Additionally, I've got Mr. Kerr, as you mentioned, and Lieutenant Colonel Blomgren both with me today, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have about the portions of the bill that relate to the Department of Military Affairs. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, General, for your time and testimony. Next up will be Commissioner Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Commissioner, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, thank you for having me here today to discuss and to thank you, I guess, for fully funding governor's request as it relates to our base budget and the change items, along with our policy initiatives that we had in place. I won't take your time going through each one of them individually, but I did want to point out a couple of items specifically. Your support will allow us to start our program as it relates to veteran suicide awareness and prevention. I think that's critically important at this time. Also, thank you for supporting our one-time request for the 9/11 GWAT Remembrance Task Force. I think this is important that we take this time to remember those, both the family members and also the veterans that have served during this time period. The policy initiatives for dental and adult daycare and to do the corrections as it relates to the GI Bill. And I think also very important, and we've tried to support this and push it through, is the Veterans Restorative Justice Act. I think including that was important for us going forward. I did want to take just a moment. There was one item that, since I've talked to you last, was a personal needs allowance, or PNA. This is brought to our attention through Senator Bingham. It specifically relates to 160 of our veterans that are in our domiciliary, both in Hastings and Minneapolis. This is an allowance that they receive monthly. It's for discretionary items. And the amount for that has been set by rule in the past, and this would move it from rule to statute. And then I think this is importantly, it would allow for an adjustment to be put in effect that would be the same as what the Department of Human Services uses for their PNA adjustments. So For the agency, it's a small bump up of about $27,000 per year for the individual. The averages are different. I think monthly personal average would go from about $128 to $142. So a small amount, but I think important as it relates to having some way of adjusting this as time goes on. And with that, I just want to say again, thank you for supporting all of the, both the change items and also the policy items for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And I stand for any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. Member questions, Representative Raleigh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the testifiers, how has the funding been coming in from the federal government? I understand that we're fully funding the veteran side at the Minnesota level. How would you depict the federal funds that are coming in?
Commissioner Herkey, I'm not sure who could answer that question.
Hi, Mr. Chair and Representative Raleigh, I can tell you the funds that the normal funds that we receive have been at previous levels, except for in adult daycare, we've actually got a bump up from the VA. So that's been encouraging and it's allowed us to reduce state expenses in that area. The support of additional expenses related to COVID-19 has been extraordinary from the federal government. We've been able to match federal money to almost every additional expense. My only challenge as a commissioner really has been in the area of lost revenues, and that's due to a decreased census. And up to this point, so far, we have not found a way to make up for those, but we're hoping that the current act that was in place may benefit us going forward. We're checking on that right now and trying to work with the governor's office and MMB to see what's possible in that area. So lost revenues is the only area I'm concerned about right at the moment.
Representative Raleigh.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Possibly two questions. Maybe I can get it into one question. Do we have the total number of dollars that have been spent so far on the National Guard responses, both to the summer issues that we had and, I don't know, I don't want to use the wrong terms, but the riots that we had in Minneapolis? I believe we heard a number somewhere in the range of 11 million. And how has that, so the second part of the question is, do you know the total amount that was spent, and how are those fee, or how have you been made whole on the additional expenses from those responses? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
General Mankey or Mr. Kerr?
Mr. Kerr, I think you've said some of the numbers over there. I don't have them off the top of my head.
Mr. Kerr, please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, Mr. Chair, my name is Don Kerr. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. And as it happens, I have a file on my computer, if I can find the right one here. There we go, State Active Duty Budget Summary. I will talk a little bit about the expenditure. So we do still have some open requirements or things that we think we're going to have to, of course, and the file is coming up behind my screen here. So I may not be able to access it, but I can provide it back to the committee. I might be able to get there from here. Bear with me just for a second, Mr. Chair.
We have plenty of time, Mr. Kerr. Don't worry about it.
Let me see how this works. When I open the file, it goes on the same monitor I'm using on my second computer, so it's not showing me. Now I think we're back. There we go. I can switch that back. I've got this. I'm going to zoom it up a little bit because it's itty-bitty, teeny-tiny font. So we do have a table that we put together. The amount that has been expended since last March, so there's two state fiscal years involved here, is just over $23 million, $23,316,000. That's a combination of COVID-19 support, flood response, and then multiple civil disturbance missions. A winter storm is thrown in there, and then state capital protection. We have also asked for an additional $15 million to support the Operation Safety Net activities in Minneapolis and St. Paul. We're not showing any expenditure of that yet in my latest report, though I know that payroll is starting to come out of that. But That's kind of where we're at. The total amount that we've requested over the last 12-month period is about $25,647,000, and we've expended less than that. But that's kind of where that's headed at this point.
Representative Raleigh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Operation Safety Net at $15 million. Could you describe where that money is going to be coming from? Basically, which bucket does that come out of?
Mr. Kerr.
Mr. Chair and Representative Raleigh, so that comes from our open appropriation of the general fund. It does not impact the agency operating budget, but obviously it does impact Minnesota's budget and MMB's forecasts because it is money that gets spent. So the way that process works, we get the mission from the governor, and we do an estimate of what that mission is going to cost, send it to MMB. MMB validates it. And they then report that to the chairs of Ways and Means in the House and Finance in the Senate. And at that point, by law, the funds are appropriated and available for use.
Representative Raleigh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. And go Red Bulls.
Any other member questions? This is going to be a quick day in committee, it looks like. It appears like everybody's tired. Well, seeing no other member questions, I'd like to thank all the testifiers for showing up today and discussing this. Our nonpartisan staff for doing all the great work that they've done to put this together. So a little bit of path forward here, members. Our intention is to pass this bill out of committee on Friday. And the reason we're moving it on Friday is because we have the unique opportunity as a committee to have two omnibus bills. So after the Easter recess, we will be doing the Department of Labor and Industry omnibus bill. So if we have amendments to this bill, I'm extending the amendment deadline till noon on Thursday just to make sure that we get them in, because otherwise if we kept the 8:30 24-hour deadline rule, we'd have to have them in by 8:30 tomorrow morning, and that's not fair to any of the members, especially trying to get this done in before the Easter recess. Let's see if I covered everything. I see Representative Raleigh has his hand up. Representative Raleigh.
And thank you again, Mr. Chair. We've moved past the testifiers, so I do have a couple questions about the omnibus bill itself.
Oh, okay. I just jumped ahead, and that's what happens when I read off my screen, Representative Raleigh. Go ahead, Representative Raleigh, for your questions to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And reading through the bill, and I apologize, Mr. Chair. This is my first time through an omnibus, so I'm trying to understand the mechanics of it. In committee, we heard several bills that I'm not seeing in this, and it may be that they're wrapped into something else. But if I could ask the chair's indulgence to ask about a specific bill to see how I can find it in the omnibus, or I don't know. So I'll just ask. So we had heard about the Disabled Veterans Rest Camp. It was being carried by Representative Detmer, House File 1229, and the amount was $128,000, I believe. Where would I find that in the omnibus bill, or was it not included? And just looking for the chair's advice on that.
Thank you, Representative Raleigh. It's not in the bill because, as well as Representative Bliss is part of that bill, Representative Bliss had the original bill for the Camp Bliss, as it comes, as I recall, no relation. But and then Representative Detmer and myself both had amendments to that bill. Unfortunately, with the targets that we got, we did not have the money to be able to do that. And working with staff, we did not feel it was prudent to take away department requests to fund these requests. And that's when you have targets to work with, that's what you have. So that's why you're not seeing it in the bill, Representative Raleigh.
I really appreciate that, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much.
You bet. Any other member questions to the bill? And I apologize, members, for skipping over that part of my script. So anyway, Representative Detmer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just a comment. I'd like to thank the TAG and also the commissioner for and their supporting staff, Mr. Johnson and Mr. Kerr, for working well with this committee, not only this year, but in the past years. I think these two organizations have always done an outstanding job bringing stuff to us early. Sometimes they had to wait for the governor to bring things forward, but I think we've always been able to work well with these two organizations and doing the best thing for our veterans' homes and also the military fairs, their mission, and do what's best for our community of veterans. So thank you.
Any other member questions? I would like to remind Representative Raleigh, you had a great question there about where the funding was at. I would like to remind members, this is first year of a two-year biennium. We may get a supplemental budget happening next year. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but these type bills, like you asked about, Representative Raleigh, could certainly be in play next year if we do have any kind of a supplemental budget chance in the second year of the biennium. Any other member questions? All right, members, we will meet. Our next meeting is 8:30 on Friday, and any amendments that you may have to the bill, like I said earlier, you have until noon to get them posted. And seeing no other member questions, we are adjourned till Friday. Thank you.